visitors, but also maybe returning parishioners who've been properly and rightly shielding. Last week, Benedict said something similar. I cry to you all the day long. I think we're very conscious when we do gather together that there is so much unrest all around the world. And some may not be crying to the Lord, but of course that's the only place absolutely any of us can cry all the day long, pouring out our hearts to the Lord for that guidance, very great, what is happening. But then he said, because you're good and forgiving, full of mercy. And as ever, we throw ourselves on the Lord's mercy and acknowledge our sins. I confess.
Lord, my God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my notice, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my fault, through my most grievous fault, therefore I ask the blessed Mary of the Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for.
Give us our sins and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
As we join in the Kyrie, it's in one night we sing out of it. Just let those words think, Lord, have mercy on all that's going on.
giver of every good gift, pour into our hearts the love of your name, so that by deepening our sense of reverence, you may nurture in us what is good, and by your watchful care, keep safe what you have nurtured. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the Sabbath day, Jesus had gone for a meal to the house of one of the leading Pharisees, and they watched him closely. He then told the guests a parable, because he had noticed how they picked the places of honour. He said this: when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take your seat in the place of honour. A more distinguished person will let you invite you, and the person invited you both may come and say, give up your place to this man. And then to your embarrassment, you would have to go and take the lowest place. No. When you are a guest, make your way to the lowest place and sit there, so that when your host comes, he may say, my friend, move up higher. In that way, everyone with you at the table will see you honored. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the man who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to his host, when you give a lunch or dinner, do not ask your friends, brothers, relations, or rich neighbors, for fear they repay your courtesy by inviting you in return. No, when you have a party, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, that they cannot pay you back means that you are fortunate, because repayment will be made to you when the virtuous rise again. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be.
Seating arrangements at a table that was notoriously difficult when planning, whether it's a wedding or a special occasion. And you've probably all seen where there's a great table plan, and you find everybody pouring over to see who they're sitting by, and then sometimes you realise the way the plans are. Noses mustn't be put out of joint. Warring parties must be kept to a little bit not close to one another. Or you hear voices like, oh, well, we're not sitting with them, or not sitting next to her or him. You know that all too well. And of course, it can happen even in church when somebody sits in your pew. But Jesus is using the etiquette of table arrangements to teach an important thing about the nature of the kingdom of God. Do notice that Jesus has only been invited as a curiosity, because they want to watch him close to see what he's up to. So of course he does begin to dominate, and he says to them, why are you so lacking in humility? Why do you push and jockey to get the best places? Why do you make yourself so disagreeable to each other? How can you expect to enjoy a party if you come in such a spirit? And then he turns to the host and says, why did you honestly in these words, why did you invite these people? But the distinctive feature of all biblical teaching is teaching about pride and its converse, humility. It's unparalleled in other religions, so I mean, and ethical systems, but it's shot through the Holiness Past Scripture. And of course, the classic Christian moral teaching, pride, is the very root of sin. Sinfulness consists essentially in the rebellious pride which attributes to self the honour and the glory that are due to God. So from the opening of the scriptures in Genesis, Adam and Eve there, and throughout the whole of the Old Testament, there's that condemnation of pride, because of course it's their pride. They wanted to go with it, they've already got that to certain text in them. Do come do be like because. Well, because was we've seen the result, haven't we? But it's condemnation of pride, exaltation of the low, and especially in the Psalms and in the wisdom literature. And they, in a way, form a very sort of remarkable anticipation of the coming of Christ. That's why today our first reading from the Ecclesiasticus, which is one of the wisdom books, and also, of course, ever as ever, a psalm. But boasting, pride, those that trust in themselves or any human prince or army, constantly contrasted with true humility, which trusts in God alone. And so therefore the proper attitude of humanity in the presence of the Lord is self-abasement and trustfulness. Because that's what's revealed to us in the New Testament, the lowliness of the incarnate Son of God. And that's fittingly anticipated, almost in the link between the old and the new, in Mary's Magnificat. He scatters the crowd out. He casts the mighty from their thrones and raises the lowly. And the wonder of the divine humility revealed in the manger of Bethlehem, in the life of the carpenter shop, because if you think Jesus' life, his ministry began when he was 30, most of the grew up in the carpenter shop, would have been helping his dad all those times and those years, the humility there. But then on the cross on high, and that's led to people through the generation that has since. Ever since then. Almost quote another hymn that we do sing, and pour contempt on all my pride. Even greater, that washing of feet of the disciples on Holy Thursday night is that example, supreme example of his humility, so that even then by his life and deeds, as well as by his words, he's bringing in that culture, new virtue, almost Christian humility into the world. Which St. Paul then picks up beautifully in the passage, not today's passage, which is taking us to heaven today, but from Philippians, when he says, his state was divine, yet he did not cling to his equality with God, but emptied himself to assume the condition of slave, and became as men are, and being as all men are, he was humble yet, even to accept in death on the cross. And St. Paul elsewhere says, the Christian may boast about one thing, and one thing only, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So access to that feast of the kingdom of God is gifted by God to us. And that's why I'm invited week by week, even day by day. Jesus invited us to be at and with him in the supper. And actually, it's enough honour just to be invited. But then, as we are, we gather around the Lord's table, the altar, to defend and nourish his hand. And here, there's no greater place of honour except for the Lord Jesus at the altar. And that's why, of course, that's the only thing that's sensed with the cross. And for our visitors, I would imagine, if selfishness, if pride, if I want to get in the way, look what Jesus does. He crosses it out. So the cross is sent, the altar says, there the seat of honor. Everywhere else, we are, as it were, together, as it were, in one another. Obviously, we sit up here because of service at the altar, but we're not anymore for the Lord. Take faith. And when we come in, we know we're people in need of mercy and forgiveness, which is what he says. That's why we do come in. That's why he's rebuking them for their whole attitude of being under suffering, you see. Need of mercy and forgiveness. What should we receive? And then receive the love and the joy and the mercy from him. So entering into communion. One person around this week said to me, I'm not worthy for you to come and bring your communion. I said, no, you're not. But the Lord said, only say the word. And I said, the Lord said, yes, you are, because I'm saying word. It's an important thing to remember, you see. You think, Lord, I'm not worthy. That's what we say, Lord, I'm not worthy. But you say the word. And what the Lord said, you're invited to be with him. So that in order we be transformed by him. You think of all those people that were watching him closely. You can reckon your way home changed because they've been changed. What was their attitude? What was in there? Even the host invited them. All of them changed. And what he said to us always is to be transformed, to become more like Jesus. And then in his power, you can confidently go out to him and invite others to join in building his kingdom.
So the Lord invites us, we profess our faith in, and of course the creed on your music sheet.
God's care for all people, to bring our prayers to Him in confidence for the church throughout the world. But taking the Lord as our example of humility, we may humbly welcome everyone who needs our
Thank you.
and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather them into yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, that your sacrifice may be offered to all. Therefore, Lord, come to destroy you by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose command we celebrate these mysteries. From the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat from it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. Lord, we pray, from every evil, graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope of the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever.
Thank you.
this bread from the heavenly table, we beseech you, Lord, that being the food of charity, it may confirm our hearts and stir us to serve you in our name. For Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord. Season of creation begins during this.